invite you to stand for a reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus told his disciples about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. I bet you can't tell me, I see three children here, I bet you can't tell me who my grandchildren are. But it is good to be worshiping with you again. Having now been invited back for a second time, I believe it's fair to say all is forgiven. And since I'm looking forward to a third time, you know, I've been searching and asking and knocking, and I found a way to make it happen. I'm going to be short today. Again, I'm delighted to be here, and I hope that our time of worship will draw us deeper into the love of God as revealed best through Jesus Christ. The passage from Luke has Jesus instructing his disciples about prayer and faith by way of a parable. It's a powerful, short story that might come across at first to be a little complicated, especially if we get overtaken with concerns about who the story's characters represent. That said, while it's a parable that has its challenges, especially when considering that Jesus asks if he's going to find faith on earth upon his return after he tells the parable, the parable itself is, above all else, a parable of hope. Some speculate, with good reason, At the time Luke writes this account, his intended audience, the initial hearers in the church, were losing heart and hope in the return of Jesus. They might have been suffering persecution at the hands of powerful individuals and an even more powerful and entrenched unjust system of oppression. Life was hard. And so the story is intended to give the church then, as it does now, hope in God and God's promises. And the hope is imparted through the primary character of the story, the widow. Let's have a closer look. New Testament scholar and pastor David Lowes writes, "Widows in the ancient world were incredibly vulnerable, regularly listed with orphans and aliens as those persons deserving special protection. The fact that this particular widow must beseech a judge unattended by any family highlights her extreme vulnerability. Yet she not only beseeches the judge, but also persists in her pleas for justice to the point of creating sufficient pressure to influence his actions." The widow in our story is bold. She is persistent. She is focused on justice, even if it means going up against an unsavory, unscrupulous, unjust person who is indicative of an unjust system that backs him, lest he would have been removed. She tirelessly pleads her case day in and day out because she knows that one of the pillars holding up God's created order is justice. We know much about justice and injustice in America. The 19th century Unitarian minister and abolitionist Theodore Parker of Massachusetts said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." You might have heard it by Martin Luther King. He quoted it many times in his speeches. We're very familiar with cries and pleas for justice here in America, even when it was and is being delayed, denied, or on a grand or a macro scale, prayers had gone up and are going up to God's throne. And God always hears. The arc of the moral universe is long indeed. Nevertheless, it continues to bend toward justice. From the 19th century anti-slavery movement until the 20th century civil rights struggle, we can read or even have lived through one of the great social movements in American history. And of course, historians and scholars continue to write and speak of its intellectual side, its ideas, wonderful ideas that were usually expressed through oratory. While most of the oratory against injustice in America was through speeches and sermons, I believe that much more was through prayer. Scripture teaches us that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And now look how far we've come as a nation. Look how far God has brought us. I believe prayer played a powerful part and continues to play a powerful part in our progress. Even though we continue to seek a more perfect union nationally, some still would rather go back. I, for one, have decided not to push back against God's command to the church to pray always. And with the widow in this story, told by Jesus, being representative of the church, in my opinion, we as Christians who have a living faith in Jesus Christ must continue to pray for justice and by extension, mercy and compassion, because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. While I believe the widow in the story can be identified as the church, likewise I believe the judge in the story is not to be confused with God. If anything, the judge is to be seen as a principality in power that sets itself up against the mind of God. We know power doesn't concede anything without a demand, and oh boy, is this widow demanding. While the judge gives in for purely selfish reasons, it doesn't matter. The good deed's done. A small victory today will lead to greater victories tomorrow. One last thing about the unjust judge in the story. We're not told that he was removed. Therefore, we can say that he kept his seat, his place in the society, him being the public face of corruption. Today, we still have in place systems and people that promote injustice. On the international stage, we see an unjust war being waged in Ukraine. On the domestic front, and just a few months ago, we saw thousands screaming injustice at the result of the last presidential election. Rather than take their grievance to the throne of God, they took it to the seat of government in violent protest. And now today we are the poorer for it, as we seem dangerously divided like never before. The way of Jesus is not violence. He willingly gave himself up to violence so that violence itself can be vanquished. And on the third day, God vindicated him and rained down justice for all. I realize I spent a lot of time on the bigger picture today, or the big picture, the macro view. Truth remains, we all have mountains of injustice to contend with in our personal lives. Even though there are too many to name in a short sermon such as this, we are called by Christ to go for the long haul, when all things will eventually be laid at the feet of Jesus. So keep praying. Our faith in a just God still moves mountains. And while you're at it, don't ever believe that evil has an equal chance of overcoming good. To believe that, you might as well call yourself an atheist and not a Christian. To believe evil has a 50-50 chance of overcoming good is to lack faith in God. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Scripture teaches. It may be evil overcoming good in the short run. You might see that every day. But in the end, God, who is good and just, wins the day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be encouraged. For it is in praying our faith is reawakened and affirmed. By praying, our faith is strengthened, even as it reassures us that God is real and hears us whenever we pray. Through praying, our faith is activated, helping us each day, to stand for love, for healing, for the good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, pray without ceasing. For this is the will of God concerning us. Pray. So when Christ comes to us with that question, will there be faith on earth? The answer we give is an unequivocal and resounding yes. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.